Congressman Peter Welch, a Democrat of Vermont at large, the only congressman in all of Vermont, two United States senators, one Peter Welch. You are probably the most powerful man in Vermont. Do you reject that contention?
I reject that contention.
I knew you would. Okay, so let's begin. There are, as we speak, important hearings going on in the United States House of Representatives now, your colleagues, and they're fascinating. I couldn't take my eyes off of them. On the one hand, you had the Democrats, your colleagues, going for broke, really pointing out all kinds of things about General Flynn and his way of doing things and FBI Director Comey answering. And yet, when the Republican turns came up, all they wanted to do was put people in jail for leaking to the New York Times and the Washington Post. And they kept, these were their talking points over and over and over again. What do you make of it?
Well, that sounds like real defensiveness on the part of those Republicans asking those questions that are really beside the point. I mean, first of all, we have a free press here, and you're seeing Donald Trump have the frustration with it that other presidents have had. But, you know, welcome to the world of politics and the First Amendment. I mean, the press played a huge role in Watergate, in uncovering the illegal activity of the White House. The press played
Absolutely.
A huge role in getting the backstory on Vietnam and how that was a hopeless war, and it was known to be hopeless by the administration long before they acknowledged it. And that was really tragic because so many wonderful young Americans lost their lives there. And now we've got this, you know, incredible situation that's really unprecedented, where everyone knows that the Russians were acting aggressively to influence the outcome of our elections. And whatever side you're on in the election, no one, the candidate I've ever known or no party has ever condoned or looked the other way at foreign involvement in our elections. It's our business. It's not their business. We get it that the Russians are going to try to do whatever they can to cause mischief, and you can't blame either party for Russian misconduct. But you can blame all of us or any of us if we fail to condemn that activity. And Donald Trump clearly is long, far from condemning it. If you remember, he invited the Russians to hack into Hillary Clinton's accounts to get her emails, so-called. And he's obviously got a significant infatuation with President Putin of Russia and has a tendency to look the other way when the Russian government is doing really provocative things in Ukraine, taking over Crimea, other things. So now that President Trump has tweeted this accusation out about President Obama wiretapping Trump Tower, you know, why isn't that just roundly condemned in the face of our intelligence people in the FBI saying there's literally no evidence to support that?
Well, do you think no evidence? I mean, most of us think that when the FBI director and the national security director say there's no evidence, they mean he's lying, don't they?
Well, that's the euphemism, but I think you more or less got it right. But you know what? Here's the thing about what Trump is doing that I think is actually quite dangerous. There's no basis. If you're going to make an accusation like that, obviously the first question is, what's the basis of your allegation? And he doesn't have any. He's had weeks to produce it. He doesn't make it. Then they change the story a little bit by saying that wiretapping is used generally for trying to get into that information. But what you're seeing at work here is a tactic that I think is really a tried-and-true tactic for Donald Trump. It's very dangerous to the country. And that is make these false assertions that are very provocative and very divisive. And a fundamental responsibility of the president, even a hard-driving president with very firm policy convictions, a major responsibility is to try to bring together this country where we do have a lot of divisions, where there are different points of view, where there are tensions racially and ethnically. But the president is at the apex of our political system, and he's got the opportunity to be a voice to help us see what we have in common, or he has the capacity to be a voice to stir things up and focus on the divisions. And this type of provocative conduct is suggesting to me that the preferred way for Trump to lead is through accelerating these divisions. And it's very, very dangerous at any time, but especially now.
Well, I certainly agree with you, especially when it comes to saying that elections are rigged. You know, frankly, this is Alan speaking, not Peter. How dare he? I mean,
well, without any evidence whatsoever.
In
fact, by the way, when we were meeting, I talked about the meeting with President Trump a while ago, but we met Elijah Cummings brought it very directly, his dispute with the president that there was rigged elections, voter fraud, and asserted, and I think there's much more evidence of this, that there's voter suppression. The president should not be doing this. It's too divisive and provocative. And by the way, it just throws Congress into a tailspin where we spend all this time, all this effort on this bogus investigation or investigation of a bogus claim rather than trying to figure out, you know, how to get this economy going, how to figure out how to put together an infrastructure bill to rebuild our roads and bridges and broadband. So there's work here to be done. Let's not get involved in these sideshows that are completely avoidable but caused by the presidential tweeter.
Exactly. Congressman Peter Welch, tell me, of course, the budget is out now, and EPA, and which I know you believe in, and agriculture, which I know is a big part of Vermont, and so many other agencies, after-school programs, they're all taking it in the neck. How bad is that?
Well, it's very bad in two respects. First of all, if you're going to spend more money, $54 billion, on the military, what's the strategy? In service of what goal and what strategy are you going to add that amount of money to the largest military budget in the world by a huge amount? And there's been no articulation by President Trump of the new defense posture that requires this investment. So that's number one. Just simply throwing money at a department, including the Pentagon, doesn't mean you're going to come out with a more efficient and stronger military. Where's the strategy? It hasn't been announced. Well, and the second thing is that the way he funds this is he takes $54 billion out of the domestic budget. And the domestic budget is at a level, and this is for, you know, economic development, student loans, support for clean water. We are spending as a percentage of our gross domestic product less on that now than we did in the Eisenhower years. And that was before we had Medicaid and Medicare. So he's slashing what has already been a bare bones budget. And here's the heartache of that budget and also the political deception of that budget. The biggest losers in this budget, the ones that will face the most pain, is going to be rural America. And rural America is on the ropes. You know, there's a lot of migration in the cities. A lot of our urban areas are part of the new economy. They're doing better. But I represent Vermont. We've got a lot of rural towns in upstate New York and all around the country. In a lot of these areas, that's where the opioid epidemic is really brutal. It's coal country where those jobs are drying up. Those community hospitals are a lifeline to those communities. They need water projects and infrastructure projects, and they are getting hammered by this budget. And in fact, what mystifies me is that that's the part of the country that needs the most help. They've got, in my view, many of the best people, solid families, solid communities trying to maintain their integrity and their dignity. And they voted for Trump, and Trump's sticking it to them in this budget. So I think it's politically terrible, and I think as a budget, it's really terrible.
Our friend Congressman Peter Welch, Democrat at large in Vermont, the only one. He's been in office since 2007, and for some reason, which he can fathom but I can't, he keeps running, coming around and talking to us, even though we do get to about a half to two-thirds of Vermont. Thank you, Peter, for being there. We hear a lot from your constituents who love hearing your voice.
Thank you.